Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Attainable Business Podcast, where we listen to the life stories of business people and entrepreneurs and deconstruct the attainability of living life on your own terms. Today, I've got RJ Bruni. RJ is the founder of InMist Media House. He's somebody who really kind of lives the lifestyle that I'm looking to learn from, the living life on your own terms. He started the media company kind of gradually through high school, where he picked up a camera and figured out how to use it and started shooting his friends and shooting kind of just stuff that he's doing, you know, in everyday high school life. And then that kind of evolved into doing weddings and those type of things, which evolved into him graduating and actually turning it into a real media company. Something crazy about RJ is he's never actually worked a typical 9-to-5. He's kind of started this from the start, which is really cool. And he's just, he's really laid back. He's easy to talk to. He's very hardworking but down earth at the same time. He seems to have kind of figured out that work-life balance, which is really cool. He lives a life that's full of adventure. InMist focuses on adventure filmmaking, documentary making. He has clients like Tourism Chilliwack, Tourism Alberta, and he's done other businesses. He's done branding videos for them as well. He spent time with some of the top guys in his industry, which is really cool, and he's has a skill of networking within his industry and just kind of making friends that have helped him along the way. I really enjoyed this one. I really loved talking to RJ, and yeah, take a listen. RJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for letting me come and do this. Yeah. I would like to just kind of start with like an overview of you. So for people who don't know you, you know what you do, kind of who you are, what InMist does, and that type of thing.
Sweet, yeah. Well, my name is RJ Bruni. I own a video production company here in Chilliwack. I grew up in Chilliwack and have lived here basically my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I started InMist about 5 years ago. Basically, we're a production company that focuses mostly on outdoor adventure and documentary filmmaking. That's evolved a lot over the 5 years, and as we've niched down into exactly what we want to stand for and the types of work we want to put out, it's kind of been slowly niching. But basically, where we're at right now is doing mostly documentary and commercial film work. Yeah, so.
So you were born in Chilliwack. You've never moved, eh?
I've lived different places for like a few months at a time, but yeah, mostly in Chilliwack. Yeah.
What were your parents like? Did you grow up in kind of an entrepreneur type family?
That's a good question. My dad, he's always worked for himself, just doing construction and stuff. Not super entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. but they were definitely supportive in my decisions to kind of work for myself. And I think there's definitely something in me from them that was in the core deep down for sure. It's just, I think there's definitely this desire to not want to work for somebody else, mm-hmm. that has come, I think, from my dad and my mom.
Really? Sure. Yeah. Have you always kind of felt that way? Like when you were younger, did you have a kind of a picture, like you say, like 10 years old, like a dream, like, oh, I'm gonna be an NHL player or anything like that?
I think you nailed it on the head, actually.
Yeah, NHL.
Yeah, obviously I grew up playing hockey my whole life, and the idea was always like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna be a hockey player, and if not, I'm gonna go to college and maybe gonna be like a hockey agent or something, which is like kind of weird to say because it's so far from what actually happened. But yeah, those were the ideas back in the day. It was just kind of to keep playing hockey and see where it goes. But because I was playing hockey so much, I never actually had a job. And like to this day, I've done like odds and ends here and there for my dad and my friend's dad doing construction and stuff. But I've never actually had a real job other than just starting this company.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even have like a SIN number till I had to pay my own taxes for the company first. So yeah.
Did you do any, were you creative as a kid? Like how did you discover photography, videography?
It was just a slow process of of creating different things and really starting to understand that I love to create things. Mm. Even like one of my best friends, Lucas, he always had this massive wood shop in his, on his property, and it just always excited me so much to go in that wood shop and just grab some pieces of wood and start making things like cutting boards or skateboards or whatever, right? So like over the years through probably like middle school and high school, just starting to create things for like school projects and whatnot, eventually led into a few more school projects that were like video based. Mm-hmm. So always had like the option, oh, make like a poster board or make a video. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna make a video. So that was the early days of just like, instead of creating something simple, I'd always want to go a little bit more above and beyond, and I think that's kind of what led me to kind of where I'm today.
What was your first experience with the camera? Do you remember?
First experience, my family, we had this just old JVC camera, and I've done a lot. I think that thing's still kicking around with some files on it, but I've done a lot of videos with that thing. Yeah. The first one, it would have been, what would it have been? I don't know what the first one would have been. I remember doing a lot of school projects, so it was probably around, oh, that's what it was. Yeah, okay. In grade six, the teacher chose a few students to be on like the video team and create like this video for the year end. Basically the class. So we'd always like be filming over the year, and be when we're going outside to play soccer, we'd be filming any events we do, and then you put like a video together in a little DVD for the end. So I think that was like my first time like starting to touch the camera.
Yeah. Did you say you skateboarded?
A little bit of skateboarding.
Yeah. Did that play a role in kind of video? Because I know for me, I did BMX.
Cool.
And that was the same thing. Like, that's just an automatic like, introduction into, like, I think that was probably my first source of creativity was from, one, just a straight up the tricks, you know, like, mm-hmm. just, like, putting together lines and, like, the skate park stuff, but also taking that and filming and photography. Like, that, did that play a role at all, or was you not so much into that?
At different points, skateboarding has definitely played a role.
Yeah.
I think above that was when I quit hockey after my 12th grade year, I started to get into hiking and climbing and all things more outdoors. Mm. And that was the biggest thing for me. That was the same time that I was starting to take cinematography more seriously and also photography. So, you know, me and my best friends, we'd go and we'd climb mountains, and naturally you just want to document it.
Yeah,
right?
It's
just
insane.
Beautiful, right? So you get to the top of the peak and you just want to have that photo at the top and stuff. So there's this natural progression of wanting to just document those times, as well as like starting to love the outdoors even more and also filmmaking and stuff. Mm. So, yeah.
Going into like high school, what kind of student were you?
I worked hard. I got pretty good grades. Not because I in the back of my mind, I think it was my family raised us to be pretty competitive, so I think a lot of my grades were just like wanting to be better than unfortunately.
Yeah,
it wasn't because I really wanted to learn the content. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was going to use much of it, but I was just pretty competitive, which is a good thing, but it was a little overboard back then.
Were you kind of, did you always have it in the back of your head that you were going to go to university? Like, did you have that as the next step, or were you going through high school kind of sure that you're going to do it your own way?
It took some different stages.
Yeah.
When I was playing hockey, I thought I would go to university, so I thought, all right, I'll get the best grades possible, right? Mm-hmm. And definitely work towards that. And then starting the 11th, 12th grade, I started to get more into filmmaking, started to shoot like more weddings and businesses and stuff. So at that point I was like starting to explore my options of, okay, maybe I don't need to go to university, mm-hmm. but I still kept it in the back of my mind that it could be an option and kept the grades up and stuff.
What were your parents' kind of input on that? Like, Would you discuss that with them? Kind of like, oh, maybe I don't need to do school. What would they say?
Yeah. I didn't discuss it with it too much until it was kind of just happening.
Yeah.
Basically, I came to a standpoint where it was like, okay, I could move away and keep playing hockey and at this point graduate and then, yeah, move away. Or I could end it all and start doing my own thing. My parents were super supportive, but there was this inner struggle for me when everyone was graduating and everyone was going to university. Mm-hmm. There was this huge struggle of, you know, you'd go to a friend's parents' house and they'd ask you, oh, like, what are your plans? You know, the question, what are you doing after high school? And I would be like, I'm starting my own filmmaking business and stuff. And like, they'd be like, oh yeah, that's cute.
Yeah. They would have fun with that. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there was a struggle that was huge. Cause that was like a full year of like people really not taking you seriously.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like in any of the entrepreneurial world at the beginning stages, like not many people are going to believe in you.
No.
But for some reason, I had this like inner confidence in me that I've already been making money. I've been doing like weddings and just more corporate videos and stuff. So I did have that confidence, but for some reason there's this core in me that I knew that I was going to get where I wanted to go with it. And there was still some struggles for sure when, you know, you're going against the grain of what everyone else is doing. But at the same time, I was like, I'm going to hit this and I don't really care what anyone else thinks.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's almost the difference between somebody who's entrepreneurial and someone who isn't, is they just have that inner core that just like that sense of like, oh, like this is going to work out. Almost like, you know, I go through the same thing, and it, being in Chilliwack, it's like a trades town. Right. And it's pretty much like that's what it is people are talking about school and like when you graduate. I mean, I went through that too, where everyone's like, oh, that's all they can talk about is university, right? Yeah. I almost lost all my friends because like every hangout, it's all it is everyone talking, oh, so what are you majoring in? Oh, cool, like this is awesome. Or what are you learning? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, what are you gonna do for a career, right? and then but it's like, if you're an entrepreneur, you talk to them and you tell them what you're doing, and it's so against the grain. They're like, oh, like, you know, they kind of give you that, oh, well, that's cool, you know, and they're like almost this petty voice. Yeah. But there's something inside you that goes like, yeah, but you're going to see. Like, you'll see. Like, this is going to.
You're just going to keep quiet.
Yeah.
And be like, no, I know this is going to work. You know,
yeah.
Like, and it might not work for sure, but there is this deep confidence that you're like, I'm going to hit this as hard as I can.
Where do you think that came from?
I'm not fully sure exactly where that came from. Yeah, I just know it's there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've always just been like a confident person. I don't know exactly where that came from, but I'm just glad it's there, to be honest with you. Because I know there's a lot of other people out there who have skills and who want to live more of a free lifestyle, not working for other people, but they don't have that. And it can be very hard for them to develop that as well. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure where that came from, but I'm just glad that it's in me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to feel it to know what you're saying. Like, I totally connect. As soon as you said that, I knew exactly what that feeling is.
Cool,
but what I'm curious about, like, what the difference is from you and then from everyone else who kind of, like, I don't want to say, like, this way or our way is better than theirs.
No,
but like,
for sure.
What was like, what do you think, was there piece of content or like videos that you watched and learned about, or like a mentor or something that opened your eyes to kind of go a different way? Cause it's totally a different path.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a compilation of different things. At the time of me wanting to get into filmmaking, it was this new evolution of like Vimeo and the accessibility of all this amazing content, also this accessibility of camera equipment, right? So before, and this is like, you know, I just saw it as what I wanted to do is pretty attainable now, because maybe 10 years ago, you know, if you wanted to start a professional video company, you'd have to invest so much money, just like tens and tens of thousands of dollars into camera equipment and stuff. And this was at the peak of DSLR filmmaking. So instead of having to spend $30,000 on a camera, you could spend $2,000 and get something that worked, right? And I was watching all these videos on Vimeo of guys making these beautiful, beautiful videos with like $1,000 5D Mark II, right? So I saw that and it got me excited, because what I love most about filmmaking is the ability to just control someone's emotions, right? You can take this scene or this story and just elevate it and control what you want your viewer to feel, right? Whether it's happier or sadder, and you can elevate those emotions, right? So the fact that I could do that now for pretty cheap and just go out and buy a simple camera and start doing that, that was like the start of it, and I think started to build some confidence that I was seeing other people even on Vimeo doing it, you know, like, whether at the time it was only watching like wedding films and simple business videos and stuff like that, but I saw them succeeding at it, and I think that gave me a little bit of confidence as well.
I think that's totally right. Did you do the video? I remember being in high school, the Macklemore thing. Did you do that? Where like all the kids skateboarding down the street?
Oh yeah.
Were you a part of that?
That was Davis. That was the park.
The park guys.
Yeah. That was Davis and Luke and stuff. And they had a little rap video. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's that one scene where they were all like, there's kids on skateboards. And Davis was on like his old grandma's scooter and stuff, and they were rapping down the street, and there's like a mob of like 30 kids behind them. That was so funny.
I remember that going almost like viral within the high school. Like everybody saw 100%. That video.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, for context for everyone listening, like Park was this pretty fun little clothing brand that our friends did up. So, and they're just like their clothing brand, but also like rappers and stuff. So that was so much fun, dude. That was like, those were the early days too, where you could just, like, I was just so excited to make anything, right? Like right now, I'm probably not going to go out tomorrow and make like a hip hop music video. It's just not what I do right now. But back then I was just so pumped to make anything. And that's the cool thing about when you're starting out, you know, I just like excited about video and even that emotion, right? There's still a really cool emotion that you can portray when it comes to making a hip hop video, right? Eventually you start to find what you like even more and you niche down, but those are the really fun days.
So you graduated high school day one, kind of what was your mindset? Where were you at? What did you do next?
Day one. Luckily I started the company casually in high school. So I was still making a little bit of money, booking some weddings and some like corporate promos and stuff. So I had a little bit of a foundation. Mm-hmm. And I was probably at the time had a few videos on the go as well. So day one was kind of just like, all right, let's keep what I have going, but let's start to elevate this, right? And I knew in the back of my mind that if I veer somewhere else for a little bit, if I even go to school and focus my time there, if I go and work for somebody else and focus my time there, I know that it's going to be taking time away from growing the business. So, I mean, day one was just, keep making videos, keep doing videos for free that I wanted to add to my portfolio. That was huge. You know, a lot of people, there's a different opinions on that you hear all the time. It's like, oh, don't do work for free, you have value. I still think to this day that like it's okay.
We have a
company of 4 or 5 guys, and we still do some videos for free every now and then when it's a project we really want to work on and we want to add it to our portfolio. There's different ways to do that in a healthy manner. But yeah, it was more, all right, I'm in a position right now where I'm doing weddings and stuff, but I want to get here. So nobody's going to hire me to do that until I showcase that I've done that work
100%,
before.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it's just starting to do more videos outside and for, I think the first probably outdoor video I did was for a local outdoor shop, Mel Waddington's. Develop a bit of relationship with him and we kind of just threw everything we had into that project. So,
So, I mean, Yeah, that for free, that whole debate, I think it kind of comes from a place of kind of artists who already have a foundation and have a business running. They're scared. Like, they have this innate fear that it's going to ruin the whole value of the industry almost. Mm-hmm. Like, you see that same thing in graphic design and other things. Like, when I first got started into Facebook advertising as well, I had no idea how to do it. And so I, like, watched YouTube videos on how to do it. And then I was like, hey, cool, I may have the knowledge here, but, like, I don't have the experience or the tactics, right? You actually got to be able to prove that you can tactically do it.
Absolutely.
So then the first thing I did was reached out to businesses, free offers, right? Mm. And everyone's looking at me like, why are you doing that? You're not going to make money. Like, even I'd talk to my family and they'd be like, so what are you doing? And I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm starting this business. I'm working for free right now. And they're like, you know, you can't grow a business working for free. And I'm like, obviously not, right? But, like, it's I think it's crucial to start. I think so, as soon, especially if it's a results based thing. Like, if you need a portfolio, you're gonna work for free. I think anybody who wants to learn something new, it's very simple just to go out, learn the content through online, learn how to do it, and then just go find somebody to do it for free. Because I mean, nobody's gonna take you seriously unless you do that. No. I think that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, even when I was back in the day when I was doing weddings, it was like my first one, it was free, you know, just go do it for a friend. And then second one, you're charging, you know, $2,000. Like, it doesn't take much, but they have to know that you can do it and you make a good product.
And it helps with your own confidence too. I mean, like, for me, I felt almost guilty asking for $1,000 a month from a client on a retainer when I have never done it before, right? And then as soon as I went out and I did it, and I was like, I proved to myself as well. I was like, oh, I actually made the client $3,000. I can charge for this, and then I'm happy. And then my sales is like through the roof because I actually believe in it.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's huge as well. I don't think the whole fake it till you make it is totally right. I think it's if you come at it very honestly, you're going to love it a lot more, and you're going to be way more confident in your sales and your abilities when you reach out to clients as well.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think the whole sales pitchy, like, business, like, is dying. Like, people don't want to feel like they're being sold on something. You know, if you come at it from a natural, honest point of view, where, you know, this is a product that you are actually proud of and you believe that it will benefit them, that's going to do way better than just cold calling someone and doing some old sales tactics or something.
How'd you go about getting your kind of your first few jobs? Was it all just kind of connections?
I think it was just connections and friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friends in the industry. Like I said before, like, our first outdoor videos for a local outdoor store that we had become friends with the owner there and stuff. And then from there, things just snowball. You know, once you start meeting more people, they know people who also want videos and stuff like that. And to this day, you know, we get a few people here and there that come to our website and see our work and want to hire us. But when there's a local connection where person A knows person B who's good friends with us, those jobs tend to come way, way more than the other, just because there is that, like, that bit more of a trust and connection.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I feel like we can pinpoint 80% of our work to local connections that we've made in the industry.
Yeah. Did you ever tactically kind of, like, try to network with people? I know there's kind of a circle of photographers, videographers up here, right? Like, well-known. You see a very similar circle where they're all kind of rolled together and they're in each other's content and everything else. Did you just kind of end up building a circle like that? Or was there any ever time where you actually, like, tactically try to network to get ahead?
Absolutely. And that's an interesting topic for sure. Especially when it comes to nowadays with so many people, wanting to be, like, photographers on Instagram. And you see a lot of this kind of, like, people, they're like networking. Yeah, they're wanting to hang out with these people because they're higher up in the industry, but they're not calling it networking. They're faking to be friends, basically, right? So there's this, like, weird line between, like, are you just using this person and when they just want to be friends with you, or are you like networking and you and benefiting each other?
Yeah.
Right? But I absolutely did that. Yeah. When it, one photographer that I really looked up to, his name's Alex Stroll.
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to him as the same time he was wanting to do a little bit more video and stuff. And this is more of like a networking thing where it's just like, oh, I can benefit you and you can benefit me. And I went and did some work with him in Montana for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you know, it was a mutual benefit. Like I get to live with him, learn about how he runs his business and does his photography. And he started to get more videos done for his YouTube and get the ball rolling there. Right. But that was like an intentional network where, you know, this person has the skills and experience that I would love to learn from. And I think I can also benefit from them as well, to them, yeah, as well. So that was like a good example of a now long-term friendship, mm-hmm, and business relationship now, yeah, where we're still doing projects together. So
yeah, I follow Alex Stroll. Mm. I really love his stuff. What did the initial outreach look like? Were you providing him a piece of value? Were you saying like, were you offering free work, or how did that look?
Yeah, it was like, it was pretty casual. I think I just sent him an email. It was like, hey man, like I love your work. I saw a video that he did for, I think it was a little behind the scenes of him taking photos in like a helicopter. I think it was like with Bradley Friesen out in Vancouver or something. And I reached out and like, hey man, I loved watching this video. Cause at this point I'd never seen any video content with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this video and I'm like, man, it was so cool seeing the behind the scenes. And I reached out and like, hey dude, I really enjoyed this. Would you ever want to do more of this? I'd definitely be interested in, and maybe working with you on making more of these videos so people can learn and see how you work and the behind the scenes of what you do, right? So that's kind of what it looked like, just super quick. And I think he reached out maybe a couple days later and be like, yeah, you want to hop on a phone call? And then I think maybe a month later I was living in Montana.
So really?
Yeah, it was quick. It was a time in our business, it was maybe 3 years ago now, where I'm like, all right, I really want to step it up. And I needed something to do that, right? I needed to commit in some sort of different way. We were stuck in a loop of a lot of business promotional videos, and we're successful in them.
Yeah.
But we wanted to be successful in somewhere else. So
yeah.
I kind of took a bit of a plunge and went into Montana for a bit.
Yeah. Well, what did you guys do in Montana?
We started a lot of different things. We started doing kind of this vlog series on his YouTube channel, a few other projects for him, project for Land Rover, yeah, and stuff. Yeah.
Anything kind of top of mind that you learned from him?
Yeah, absolutely. Alex is very intentional with what he does. Yeah. And I definitely learned that. He, a good example is one of his bigger clients at the time was Land Rover.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, some people just wait around and hope they get these big contracts, right? And he was so intentional about wanting to get a job with not just a car company, but he's like, I want to get a job with Land Rover.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and he bought a Defender, and this was in Europe. He lives in Europe sometimes and mostly Montana now, but when he was in France, he bought a Defender, and him and his partner Andrea, they went and toured all around Europe in this Defender, and they put together this photo book.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just for the idea. The book probably was something they personally just wanted to do, but the Land Rover was to give Land Rover the idea and content to be like, hey, like get in their eyes basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And get in front of them. And yeah, that was fully intentional, and it came back to some pretty cool work that he's, wow, done for them. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Were you intentional with, I know you have a bit of an Instagram following, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you intentional with growing that, or is that kind of a byproduct that came with everything else?
I think years ago I was more intentional with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I was younger, even more in high school and stuff, it's something I kind of kept up with a bunch. Now, you know, things have changed a lot with Instagram and with people wanting to grow their Instagram. For me, I see it a little bit differently because we don't get much of our work off Instagram, actually. I don't think a big following necessarily translate back into work.
Yeah.
I've seen people with hundreds and thousands of Instagram followers who didn't actually, or who aren't super busy with their video or mm-hmm. their photo work. So for me, it's kind of just turned into something where I just want to share what we're doing. We have a business page where we kind of share the behind the scenes, and I have my personal page where, yeah, I share a few photos and still always going in the mountains and taking photos and videos and stuff. But, it would always be nice to have more eyes following your work. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But for us and for myself, it's not super crucial. It's not the top of my priority list right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any trips or anything like that was the most kind of, I don't know what the word is, like the best experience, like anything like like that? I know did you do something with Sam Colder?
Did you go on a trip with him? I was with Sam Colder in Israel for a trip, yeah.
When was that?
That was an interesting trip. That was only a few months ago, or like maybe actually coming on a year ago now.
Yeah.
That was for this, I guess it's called an organization called Socality.
Mm-hmm.
They host like Instagram meetups and stuff like that. But every year they do this influencer trip, I guess they call it, to Israel. And they brought like 40 of us to Israel just to experience it. And they partner with an organization out there that does a lot of these tours. And they basically just put us up and to have the best time ever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a work trip for anybody. That was like one of the very few more personal trips that I've done. Yeah, but it was a blast.
Yeah. What would you guys do out in Israel?
Oh, dude, it was crazy. We'd do everything. Like we'd go see all like the historical biblical spots that you read about in the Bible. We'd have the most extravagant dinners, like looking over the Mediterranean Sea, and we'd go on wine tours. It was just a blast, dude. I love good food, and the food there is amazing, and they have really good wine. So every night we just go out for the most extravagant dinners. Mm. And yeah, for me, that's like actually huge. I love just getting immersed in like new cultures and stuff, and just to be able to experience the food and like at a pretty high quality. That was just such a blast. But also for that trip, it was cool just to be around 40. I think it was 40. Yeah. There's a ton of us. Other creatives who are also in the industry, right? Like you said before, like coming from Chilliwack, there's not a ton of entrepreneurial minded people. Not like you go closer to the city, that's kind of where people get drawn to. So I love Chilliwack though, because of the mountains and Institute.
Yeah.
And it's where I still choose to live because for what we do, it's nice to be close to the mountains as opposed to the city.
That's true.
But the trade-off is I'm not around a lot of entrepreneurial minded people as much as if I was living in Vancouver, right? So yeah, a trip like that where you're surrounded by other photographers and graphic designers and musicians and just like be able to pick their brain and talk about the same struggles and successes that you both have.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge, man. And yeah, so like hanging out with Sam and so many other of these guys that are in the same world was such a blast.
Yeah.
That was a very fun trip.
Yeah, I think that I, especially coming from Chilliwack, where it is tougher to find those circles
mm-hmm.
Of people that are like, there's a lot of people that are just a lot more laid back here, which is great. And they just kind of like to live their life, right? But like, it's harder to find that circle of somebody who has a true mission or kind of trying to go out of their way to do something that's a little bit more extraordinary, right? So as soon as you kind of meet other people that are like-minded, it's almost like a breath of relief. You're like, oh, it's not just me. I think it's easy to kind of feel like you're almost alone, you know, like when you're kind of back this way. I struggle with that too, because I mean, I grew up in Chilliwack and I loved the river and the mountains and everything else. Like I was thinking back this morning, I was thinking back about few summers ago when we were still kind of just graduating high school, and it was like August or July and it was hot out and it was like 8 a.m. We're like, oh, let's go jump in Allison Pool. Let's go jump in the river, right? And I was like,
so quick, 10 minutes
such
later.
It's an amazing
right?
feeling. Yeah, just being out in this beauty in this country, like 10 minute drive down the road, right? Yeah. And now I live in Surrey. Right. So like living right in the city, and it's fantastic because I get to go out and connect with a bunch of these other entrepreneurs and business people and that type of thing. But it's you don't get the nature.
No.
Which is tough.
And it's all about what you want more. Right?
Yeah.
For me and my business. And I think every decision you should make in your business, you need to ask yourself, like, does this align with our brand? Right. So, and I've been back and forth a lot on the idea of, like, this is more maybe a couple of years ago. Do I move to Vancouver? Do I move the whole business to Vancouver? You know, there's more happening there. But at the end of the day, I have to ask myself, is this fit our brand, right? Mm-hmm. We are an outdoor adventure filmmaking company. We need to be in the mountains, right?
Yeah.
We need to be where the adventures are happening. So, yeah, it's a trade-off. And unfortunately, there aren't as many of those people there. But for us, it works, and I love it here.
Yeah,
it's so good.
What kind of role does the outdoors play in your life, or is that kind of your main passion, would you say?
Yeah, I think it is, between filmmaking and being outside. And being outside there's so many things that revolve around that, right? Even like riding motorcycles and rock climbing, biking, like there's so many of these things. The role that it plays is, like, I think it comes down, like, this really cool sense of freedom is kind of the common theme between all these things. When I started getting into the outdoors, I was still probably early high school. And I remember me and my best friend Lucas, we would one day, like, we would just be chilling in my basement. And, like, we don't have driver's license or anything at this point. And I'd be like, hey, like, we're bored, like, should we just go on a hike or something? And then we'd just, like, we'd get our parents to drop us off at the bottom of this mountain, and then we'd just go hike it. And like, all right, be back, like, maybe like, there's no cell service up there either, so we're like, hey, maybe be back at like 4 o'clock. And then we just either hopefully be back at 4 o'clock or be early or be late. Like, those were the days where, like, parents dropping us off in the mountains. But like, once that car leaves, it's just freedom. Like, we can go wherever we want now. It's crazy, right? And I still hold that sense when, you know, when you're going on a hike, like, it doesn't matter where you go, like, it's just, you're going to be out there and you're in the elements, and it's going to teach you something, absolutely. And whether it's hiking or riding your motorcycle through the mountain roads or whatever that looks like, there's this really cool sense of freedom. And I think that's what it plays in my life, for sure.
Freedom and discomfort. I mean,
a lot of discomfort. Oh yeah. It's not all like, you see a lot of beautiful scenes on Instagram. And like the proper adventures, like,
it's hard.
Yeah. You're going to have some tough times where you're just like, you go into the mountains hoping for this beautiful sunset, and like, you're going to camp in your tent, and it's just a storm comes in and you're just stuck in your tent and it's raining the whole time or whatever. Right. So, but those are the best.
Yeah.
Like I remember, like, back in the day, we loved those moments of just being on a summit, and I still do. But I remember even texting Lucas a few times where it's like, how you doing, man? Like, how's the week going? He's like, it's okay. And we were just like, you want to go, like, suffer in the mountains for a bit? Because it was like something we were addicted to.
Yeah.
It was just like, let's just go. Because I think we just loved the feeling of, like, going out, grinding, like, physically and mentally, and then coming back and feel like this sense of rewarding, right? And I feel like now with a business, there's more things to keep me busy than, like, just searching for suffering in the mountains. But there's something definitely to be learned from that, and yeah, we loved it. So
it takes a different type of person to love that, you know? like I mean, I've tried, like, living here, obviously, if for people that don't know, like, Chilliwack is right in the valley. It's with some of the most incredible peaks are, like, literally just a 20 minute drive away.
Yeah.
Right. And so I would try to go hiking, and I hiked a few things, but, like, man, I hated it. Like, I just hated it. I had friends who loved it, and they always hiked all the time. And it just takes a different type of person to be out there and loving it. But also, I'm starting to kind of understand that, like, when I went to school in Vancouver, actually, I lived in a van.
Oh, cool.
And then,
that's awesome. What kind of van?
Oh man, it was a, It was just a Dodge Ram, like a B350, but it was extended on the back, and then it had the conversion on top. It
was
like
sweet.
The getaway conversion, I believe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was such a trip. Like, it was like, because I mean, I was always kind of trying to find myself in that time, and really loved watching the van life stuff. Like, not like the in the city, like what I did, but like the outdoors, like people traveling through the West, like
totally
in there living in their van, which was I always thought was so much fun, right? Mm. And it looks so fun in the video and everything else, but then as soon as you do it, you're like, this sucks. Like, this is super uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
But I did it for 6 months in Vancouver, like cool. right in the city,
cool.
because I had, my campus was downtown Vancouver.
Okay.
So I was like, there's no way I can afford to live here, and there's no way I'm driving back and forth. And I was watching all these van videos, and I was like, screw it, I'm gonna buy a van and live in that.
That's awesome.
And then that was the most uncomfortable 6 months. Not to mention it was October to March. So it was over the winter.
Right.
No heat.
Crazy.
And it was like, but I mean, now I'm in Vancouver, and I'm, like, driving past all these spots where I used to sleep, and I'm, like, I miss it so much. I, like,
yeah, right?
The discomfort is, it's so hard in the moment, but as soon as you're looking back on it,
yeah.
There's this, like, this, just this weird kind of sense where you're, like, oh, I want to go back.
Yeah. Right?
Even though you know it's going to suck, you want to go back. So now I'm kind of understanding the whole adventure thing after that, right?
Absolutely. And you have to put yourself in those scenarios, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, maybe a couple years after graduating, me and my friend Lucas again and my friend Tyler went down to a road trip down to California, and with no plan, because we just like we hated planning things. So
yeah.
We're just like, all right, we're just gonna drive to California, and we have like 2 weeks, let's just do something. And our biggest thing, like, there's this struggle every night of, all right, where are we gonna sleep? Because like we're not paying for campsites. So we just had just the craziest times, like looking for these camp spots, and it was like on the coast, it's really hard to find places to camp for free, especially on the beaches, like you'll get kicked off and
yeah.
stuff. And there's this one story we have where it's just like, and this links back to your idea of like, man, you look back in these spots and like they were tough at the time, but you look back with such cool memories and stories,
mm-hmm.
and the suffering like eventually led to growth and learning too, right? But we were at Cannon Beach in Oregon.
Yeah.
I think this was night number one. I think we sent it to Cannon Beach, and we're like, man, where should we sleep tonight? And we looked at like those haystack rocks, like the big rocks in the water. And there's the main ones that you see in photos. And then to the side, there are like a few couple smaller ones. And we're like, hey, I think like we can get to those. So during the day, we went and hiked to them. We're like, oh, sweet. You can totally just chill on top of these. And it was funny because we're like, all right, we're going to come back at night with some headlamps and hike up this thing and camp here. And we didn't bring a tent, but it was night. We brought the headlamps, cruised out there, set up some sleeping bags over the sky. And like the minute I like got on my sleeping pad and looked up, I was like, oh crap. Like there was like such stormy looking clouds happening. And we're just like, why didn't we even think about this?
Yeah.
And that whole night, it just downpoured on us. And we were just out there in our sleeping bags. No tent at all. And the worst thing was the tide had come up and we couldn't leave the rock.
Oh,
we're basically just on an
yeah.
island. And it was just crazy, man. And we were like stuck on this island in like the middle of the storm. And it sucked at the time. And we were probably just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Like, who said not to bring a tent or something? But you look back and like any time we'd ever go up to Haystack Rock in Oregon, we just look at those rocks and be like, that's a funny story.
That's
man.
A memory.
And like it's suffering, but like so much fun, you know,
yeah.
you came away like just having a blast.
So. Yeah. I think it's so easy to get away from that kind of mindset of life. I think I'm realizing that now where I'm so like pursuing career and business and stuff that you totally forget to just enjoy that type of thing and go out and like make memories. It's so easy just to kind of get stuck in the stuck in time, you know, and just like kind of melt away.
It's so easy to lose it. Yeah. And that's one thing that I'm constantly trying to work on is like remember those times and just like learn out of them, like how much did I enjoy that, right? And yeah, not getting caught up in just grow the business, like that's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, also just go outside and like having a good old-fashioned adventure, like yeah.
Do you think that discomfort of the outdoors, like you were hiking and stuff throughout high school, right? Like when at younger ages,
yeah.
You think that maybe was something that kind of opened your eyes to be willing to pursue a life of discomfort? Like, you've clearly, there's the path of a university 9-to-5 where you're living a comfortable life, or this path where you've started your own business and you're going your own way. You think that maybe the outdoors played a role in adjusting your mindset and opening it up to like, oh, maybe I could live a difficult life.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say I currently do live like the most difficult.
Yeah,
like,
I
understand that I've come from a very privileged place.
Yeah.
Even having a family that was still together and supported me. It's just, I was set up definitely in an opportunity to succeed. But I think, yeah, you're probably right on that for sure. Like, being in the outdoors. And I think over the years I've learned that the value of suffering, you know, a lot of times we just avoid it. But I see, you know, the times where you're the lowest and you feel like there's no hope and you're just going to sit there, you know, if you choose to climb back out and learn from it, you're going to be such a stronger person. And yeah, those are the values I think that also play into the outdoors as well. And translate back into business. You know, the times where you're on your own in the basement of your parents' house and you have no jobs and you feel like this is not going to succeed, that's going to teach you so much later on, right? So.
Do you ever lack kind of, you know, inspiration, or has there ever been a time where you've kind of felt like you're just in a dry spot where you're stuck in the, you know, kind of the cycle and you haven't, you know, you've been in that time, right? That a creative dry spout inspiration where you've kind of been stuck doing the routines and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hear it a lot. Any creative goes through those times of not being as creative as they'd like to be, or just not putting the work out or not getting the clients. And this industry just ebbs and flows like crazy, whether it is creative inspiration or just people not knocking on your door for projects. Like, it's just a constant wave that goes up and down. Hopefully that wave is eventually pointing up a little bit more, but you know, you absolutely, I think you are always going through these spells of not being inspired or whatever. Right. I've learned to enjoy those and just point my mind somewhere else for a little bit. Cause I know I have confidence that it always comes back. Like, the one thing I love the most is filmmaking and telling stories. And I know that drive is always going to be there. So yeah, if it's gone for, you know, a couple weeks, maybe I just focus on something else for a bit, you know, maybe I just focus on, maybe I'm just going to put my mind to, I don't know, restoring a motorcycle in my spare time. You know, obviously I'm still going to work and then doing it, but I'm not like dwelling the idea that I'm not fully there with my mind. I'm just going to focus it somewhere else. You know, so when I go home, I'm not thinking about filmmaking. I'm just going to be okay with, just like fixing up my motorcycle or something like that, or just going up in the mountains. Like, I found tools that can keep me inspired and I like to utilize those as much as I can. One of them, going outside, being in the outdoors, you know. Yeah, motorcycles. I love motorcycles, working on those. Another thing where I'm like, if I'm in a place where I really need to be inspired, like we're mid-project and like I need to be fired up right now, is going back to the roots of what it all started for me, is just watching videos on Vimeo. Like, for me, that's enough. Just seeing the beautiful creations that other people are doing, because I love it so much, it just gets me stoked for them, and also being like, oh man, like I could totally use that new technique, or I love that style, like maybe I should play off that. And if I'm in a place of really needed to be inspired, I'll just go right back to Vimeo and kind of force myself to do it.
Yeah, that's huge. Do you have like goals for InMist for your business? Do you have like, what do you see for it? Do you kind of want to keep it a smaller thing where you have the freedom, or would you want to do like a whole world domination plan? You know?
I don't like a world domination plan. I'm always trying to figure that out. Yeah. I definitely have goals.
Yeah.
But as far as how big I want to take it, I'm kind of always figuring that one out.
Yeah.
I know right now we want to keep growing it, not for the sake of growing and money, but we want to be creating like some amazing work, right? And we want to keep growing in that, right? So if it if we feel that, you know, adding a person to the team in a specific area can help the idea of making better videos and better films, then we'll do that, right? So that's where our focus is right now, is just keep evolving in our work. And then, yeah, as far as like growing it in a business sense, I think there's definitely ways that we're doing that, and slowly building up more clientele and retaining business and stuff like that. How big we want to take it, I'm not exactly sure, yeah. But I know I really am happy where we are right now because it provides a lot of freedom. Yeah, keeping a four or five person team, you know, there's a lot of freedom for myself, but also that's really important for all the employees here too. It's just like, I don't think there's anyone who kind of just shows up 8 hours, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. It just, like, for us, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, I have the freedom to take a Monday morning off if I want, and I want that for my employees too. So, yeah, as big as we do grow, I think there's values that we need to keep. And if we grow too big that we can't hold those, then I think maybe it's time to scale back.
What would you say is your biggest motivator right now? Is it freedom?
My biggest motivator. I think it's just to keep telling stories is like my motivator.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, there's this feeling, we went through a bit of a spell where we were creating work that wasn't really getting seen because it wasn't fully on brand. This is maybe a couple of years ago. It just wasn't fully on brand, wasn't where we wanted to be, so we weren't showcasing that work, right? But right now we're in a spot where probably 90-95% of our work is the stuff that we want to be showcasing. And I don't know, there's just such a feeling of putting work out to the world and hearing how people respond to it, because that's the goal, right? Like, we want people to be affected positively by our work, right? So when you hear that, you know, some people resonate with a certain film, it's just like, oh man, we're doing our jobs right, and it's cool. So that's definitely like our motivator and keep going.
How did you make that transition from going from making work that you're not super passionate about off brand to transitioning it to an on brand thing?
Yeah, that was for us, it was slow. And I don't think I think you hear a lot of opinions online about what way to do it. Like, what's the best way to do it, right? You hear some people say, only do the work that you want to be doing and don't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know? For us, it just didn't work out like that. I started, like I said before, loving every aspect of filmmaking. I loved to shoot weddings for only lasted a year, and then I started to hate it. But I started to love it, and the business kind of started off doing everything, right? So we weren't in a position at the beginning, because we did like everything, that we wanted to niche. But if I'd say, yeah, so for us, it was this gradual process of slowly doing the work that we wanted to be doing. And then we'd have to start saying no to other work. And that was hard when you're saying no to money coming.
Like, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, hopefully we keep getting more of this outdoor adventure stuff, right? And then slowly it's like, oh, you start to realize, oh, if I would have said yes to that project, we wouldn't have gotten this one because we would have been busy. And like, there's some crazy, just phenomenal experiences where, like, we said off a whim, we said no to like some huge projects, really well-paying projects, and eventually it paid off, like, in the long run, because that allowed us to go do a trip that we really needed to do, which got in the eyes of the right person, which got us another project. And just like starting to say no to the stuff that we didn't want to be doing was the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In your day to day, do you have any sort of routines and disciplines to kind of keep you focused on the actual business side? Cause I can imagine if, you know, you want to be adventurous, you want to do these things, how do you stay focused on what actually needs to be done to, you know, to grow?
Yeah. I have a few routines for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Usually it's like around the mornings. Like, I like to have a pretty consistent morning, right? So usually I always wake up the same time. Like, I try to always get 8 hours. I know how important sleep is for me. I don't function at 100%. So, you know, as long as I get 8 hours of sleep, I'm happy. But usually in the mornings, I come to the office. Maybe like I always water the plants, just get my head in the right space, have a cup of coffee and some water, and start with some emails. And just, I have a list of, in Evernote, I just have a list for that day of like, hey, here are the simple business things that I need to get done today. I need to send these invoices, respond to these emails, and then maybe tweak this edit, and then, or whatever that looks like, right? So I always have these lists, and then that feels good to like get those small things off the plate. And then if I have to keep diving more into editing a project, I'll do that. Or if the day's open to, you know, having some more fun, maybe I'll go into the mountains. Or maybe, all right, now I'm focused on the business right now, I'm gonna focus on maybe a personal project or something like that, or reaching out to companies or people who are doing different adventures or whatever that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. So it starts off with a little bit of structure and just accomplishing the small tasks. And I think that rewires your brain nicely for the day, just because you've already accomplished a few things.
I think to-do lists are like the way. I've been starting to kind of have a lot more responsibilities and having more things where I'm like, now that I'm starting to get clients, I'm like, oh, I actually have to do stuff. Like, this is important. Like, if you can just jot it down, however you do, like if you go through my phone, I've just got lists and lists and lists and stuff.
Totally.
I'm like, and it's just, if you're working for yourself, I think that's the way to keep yourself accountable. I mean, without lists, you're just so lost. I think that's such a key tool that a lot of people overlook. It's so simple. Like, if you go to my desk right now, I have three lists, one for the business, one for the content, one for like outreach to reach out to new people.
Totally.
And since I've done that, I've been like triple the time productive, like in the
last
few weeks.
It feels good,
right? To cross it off.
Check marks, it feels so good, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's healthy for us, and obviously it's so productive. So it's awesome.
That's cool. So my final question. So what would you say, like, you know, to that kid, to that person that is sitting at home on the couch doing whatever, just kind of uncertain of what they want to do, or they know what they want to do, but they're too in their own head, right? They're too hesitant to actually make that leap, that jump to kind of pursue their dreams instead of falling back into what it might be safe for them. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think first off, don't compare yourself to other people's journeys. That's the biggest thing. Like, I can definitely find myself doing that every once in a while where it's like, oh man, this person's so successful here and they didn't have to do any of this bad work to get there or whatever, right? That's always not the case. Like, the grass is always greener on the other side. So first off, like, they have to just stop comparing themselves to everyone else's journey and then start to visualize what that looks like for them, you know? And sometimes that actually doesn't mean quitting their job and quitting school.
100%.
You know, like, everyone's journey is going to be so much different, but I think visualize, where do I want to be? You know, if I want to be a photographer full time, right? If I want to be shooting whatever it is, going in the mountains and shooting rock climbing full time, if they quit everything and just send it on that, like, it might not actually work out because they're going to be broke and homeless in like maybe a couple of days.
Yeah.
Right? But like developing a bit of a plan where it's just like, okay, yeah, maybe school's not working out for that plan right now. It's not benefiting me. Maybe I'm going to stop school, but I'm going to keep my job. And then at some point, maybe I reach this financial goal. I'm just going to maybe buy a van and send it in the van for a bit and like only start reaching out to only like rock climbers and shoot rock climbing. Right. And just develop your own plan and journey to get there. And yeah, there is value 100% in committing yourself to something. Like, it's going to succeed faster, most likely, right? But for some people, it's just not realistic. And there's a lot of time in the day to have a job and then, yeah, get that extra side grind going in the evenings, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want it bad enough and you have that goal in mind where it's just like, I want to be doing this and this is like, this is it for me, then yeah, just develop a bit of a game plan to get there. And I think it's so easy to compare ourselves and even listen to people on other podcasts and online say like, this is what you got to do to get there. And I think everyone's circumstance is so different. You know, some people have families to take care of at the same time. You know, some people are in debt and like, I need to pay this debt off. Like, I can't succeed and I can't grow my business till I pay this debt off. Right. So like, yeah, maybe make that goal number one, pay the debt off and then start focusing on other things. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think a game plan is huge.
Yeah. How attainable do you think it is for someone to live life on their own terms?
It's so easy. Yeah, it's easily attainable, 100%. Mm-hmm. Whether that is working for yourself or working for somebody else, I think if you want it bad enough and you see and understand like the values in doing that, it's so attainable. For me, there was this weird itch of like, I'd go and help other video companies out with some videos and I just didn't like it. Like, I was holding the camera still, but that feeling of, you know, like I said before, like controlling someone's emotions and like everything from the beginning stages of making a video to putting it out there and them seeing it, I feel like I didn't have that. So my living life on my own terms meant, all right, I have to start my own thing, right? For other people, it might not look that way, right? But start with developing what that looks like for you, and it'll always change, but at least have a good idea that you're pointing towards, and I think 100% people can go get it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. That was great.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It's fun.
There you have it. There's episode 5 with RJ Bruni. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found value from it. If you found any value, I'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with any friends or family that also would find value. And I hope you tune in for the next one. Thanks. Bye.